This is Doug Miller. If you think last week's program was controversial, wait till you hear this one. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time. This side of eternity, Bible in hand, looking at the Word of the living God, which is truth and life and light. And we are delighted to be able to welcome you. And I trust that you will come along, open up your Bible to the second chapter of Acts, and get ready for a little controversy. It's not that I am seeking controversy, not that I'm trying to find it or anything like that, but that occasionally you get into these things that are controversial. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. To put it as plainly, as clearly as we can make it, as honest and as truthful as we can make it, and to get it out as far as we can get it out there. And we are absolutely and utterly dependent on you, our listeners, your prayers, your support. This is strictly a faith ministry with no organization behind it other than this organization. So we covet your prayers, tell other people about us, and incidentally, why don't you just call someone right now and tell them to listen in? We're going to get into the second chapter of Acts, which talks about speaking in tongues, so at any rate, we'd like to hear from you also. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. That is .org, not .com. And you can log on and see and look at us there. Let's see what else. It is today time for me, I think, to start mentioning that on April 16th of next, this coming April 16th, which is, of course, over 4 months away, but we're going to lay the groundwork for it now. Dialogue Ministries will be sponsoring a one-day seminar held in the lodge at Camp Klassen, down by Davis, Oklahoma. The subject will be, Are We Living in the End Times? We'll have more to say about this later on, but just go mark your calendars. We want you to come down to that one. And as I say, we'll have more to say about that later on. All right, bring your Bibles. Here we go. Chapter 2 of Acts, and let's see how many people I can offend today. Brethren and sisters, I am not trying to offend people. I have said this more times than I can imagine, but I know that people do get offended. I figured out a long time ago that the Word of God can be offensive. And if you take this word literally and you just let it say what it says, you're going to offend people. Now, for all of you preachers out there who go out of your way to try to be non-offensive, you just, you know, you preach these little ear-tickling, friendly sermons and how, you know, I love you and you love me and everyone loves everyone and God loves everyone and whatever you do, it's all right. What can I say? If that's what the Lord has called you to do, you go ahead and do it, and we'll see you at the judgment seat and how well you come out. In fact, if that's how you're handling the Word of God, I frankly doubt that you're saved at all. Just between you, me, and the wall. You need to go back and read this book. But the guy sitting here and talking into this mic is, I hope, no ear tickler. I'm not scratching your ears to hear you purr. If you don't like what I am saying, I don't know what to tell you. You'd better straighten it out with the Lord. Now, occasionally, you know, we lose listeners here on Dialogue. There was one guy who listened for years to Dialogue and loved every word that I said until one day he heard me on here preaching that if you're saved, you're always saved. There is no such thing as falling from grace. God will preserve those who are saved unto eternal life. And, you know, he didn't like that. And he wrote me a letter and told me so and said, adios. Well, what can I tell you? I'm going to teach and preach the word as clearly as I can. Now, we have got in the second chapter of Acts one of those chapters that divides denominations. For all of you out there who are listening to me, who speak in tongues, if you say to me, all right, Miller, do you speak in tongues? The answer is no. Have you ever spoken in tongues? The answer is no. Are you attempting to speak in tongues? The answer is no. Do you believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you do not have the Holy Spirit? The answer is no. I don't believe anything of the sorts, or that speaking in tongues is a sign of the reception of the Holy Spirit. Nothing to it. Sorry about that. Now, for those of you that I've offended, once again, I'm not trying to offend you, but I am telling you that this word does not teach any of these sorts of things. For those of you out there who are saying, I speak in tongues and it's a wonderful experience and I cannot bear to have you saying those kinds of things. Hey, I didn't tell you not to speak in tongues. I'm telling you that I don't. And that I am not urging anyone to. If that's what you do and if it's meaningful to you, well, I guess it's meaningful to you. But everything that you're saying to me is totally experiential. And you cannot make a solid case from the Word of God that this is what you ought to be doing. Now, once again, this is not pleasant to have to say because I know a lot of good Christians that I love dearly and they love me and they speak in tongues. Well, okay. Let's see what the Word of God has to say about it. Now, once again, let's let the Word of God say what it says and not make it say things that it doesn't. And I think that you'll find this very interesting. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All right, that's chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of Acts. Now, who all was in one place? The 120, I suppose. Those are the ones referred to in chapter 1 before. Here are the guys. They're all Jews. They're all in one place. I don't know what the one place was, but I assume that it's, you know, the upper room where they were all praying together. These are people that had been praying. And they were in one place with one accord. And they got something that they certainly hadn't been looking for. Let's see what it was. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, friends, I don't care who you are or what you are. You're not going to be able to tell me or convince me that you have ever seen anything like this before or been involved in anything like this before. This is one of those experiences that comes once in a, let us say, in a dispensation. Yes. The Lord Jesus had told these men that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, those of you out there who, you know, speak in tongues, many, because the statement here is, it says that there were cloven tongues of fire setting upon each of them. Many of you equate this with the baptism of fire that was spoken of by John the Baptist when he said of Messiah, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what he said. But the Lord Jesus, back in the first chapter of Acts, as we saw when we were in it, didn't say anything to these people about being baptized with fire. He said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For those of you who say this is the same thing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism with fire are the same thing, you are wrong. Those are two different things. Fire in the New Testament, and in the Old Testament for that matter, speaks of judgment. The baptism with fire has not yet come on this earth, but it's coming. It is coming, and it will be from Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And when the baptism of fire comes, you don't want to be here to live through that, because it will be a terrible, terrible time. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is something altogether different. Now, I want you to just hold your place there, and I want you to turn back with me to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, because in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 12 and 13, we have, and in other, a little farther down even, but we have the only time in the New Testament where the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is dealt with doctrinally. That is where it tells what it is. Now, some of you out there have probably never been made to face up to this. But it's important that you understand that every reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost that we have in Scripture, every one of those references is prophetic, okay? Except for this one. John the Baptist said, he shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus said, first chapter of Acts, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Every one of these references is prophetic, and it's something future. There is one place and one place only in the entire New Testament where this doctrine of baptism of the Holy Ghost, or where this teaching is dealt with doctrinally, where it actually tells what it is. If any of you out there listening to me say, well, that's not true, fine, I want you to write me and tell me where it is. Because this is the only one I know of. Verse 12, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ, or is the Christ, it says in the Greek. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, that passage in there, we are all baptized, is present tense. It's continuous in the present. We are being, and we have been, and are being baptized into the Holy Spirit. Doctrinally, the truth of the matter is this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something that you get somehow, you know. Well, I was saved 13 years ago, but I didn't get baptized by the Spirit until yesterday. Wrong. That's not what this is talking about at all. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is that act whereby those individuals who are saved have been placed in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church of the living God. The head of the church is Christ Jesus. And when we are saved, and as we are saved, we have all been placed in that one body. All right? If you're saved, you're a part of the body of Christ. You have been placed in the body. Christ Jesus is your head. And as a member of the body of Christ, you are in vital, unbreakable union with Christ Jesus and with all the other members of the body of Christ. It is not an experience that necessarily has any kind of emotional component to it. I don't care whether you feel anything when you get saved or not. I don't care. I mean, you say, well, if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't baptized into the body. Well, I don't know where you would get an idea like that. Well, yeah, I do, too. You get that idea because in the second chapter of Acts, a number of things happened that had not happened before. And because they happened in the second chapter of Acts, many are arguing that they always happen in that way again and again and again. And that's simply not true. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit are two different things. We see here doctrinally what the filling of the Holy, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Let's look at the filling of the Holy Spirit. And for this one, we're going to have to go back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18. And here we have a command. This is an imperative. This is not a suggestion. We have in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Or literally, be filled, be being filled in spirit. Now, this is a command. I don't know of one place in the Scriptures where anyone is ever commanded to be baptized with the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. If you know of such a place, you write me and tell me. Enlighten me, because I'm going along here in ignorance. There is no such place. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that the Lord Jesus does. He is the baptizer, and he has baptized his church, one body, one Lord, one Savior, one God and Father of all, one Spirit, one baptism. We read that also back in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, don't we? There's no command to us to do this. We couldn't do it if we wanted to. He's the one who does it. But we do have a command here to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled. And if we are not filled, then we are not doing what we should be doing. Because being filled with the Spirit now is a matter of being yielded to the Spirit, of yielding ourselves over to him and be given to him to use as in any way that he sees fit. Now, the problem that we encounter with people who misunderstand the second chapter of Acts is that we've got several things going on all at once. They had not happened up to this time. Up till the time of the second chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit had not baptized the church into one body. There was no such thing as people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Go back and read the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people from time to time. He came on them and he used them. In the Old Testament, we have David praying after his sin with Bathsheba, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me," praying to God not to take his Holy Spirit from him. You have nothing like that in the New Testament. If you're saved, God's not going to take his Holy Spirit from you. You've been saved. You've got the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not be filled. The Holy Spirit may not be filling you and using you as he would like to. There may be sin or rebellion in your life. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that you have, and it's ongoing, and it will go right on through eternity because you are a member of the body of Christ. But let's look at what we have here. We have something happening in the second chapter of Acts that has never happened before. We have got the body of Christ coming into existence. It has not been here before. For those of you who are out there reading the Old Testament and who think that the church and Israel are the same and who think that, you know, all of those people back in Israel were members of the church, oh, please. That is a case you cannot make. Israel was not the church. Israel is Israel. And to say that those people back there in the Old Testament were members of the church is to confuse these dispensations and to confuse them badly. After the Lord Jesus was crucified, after he was raised up from the dead, after he ascended back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, something happened that had never happened before. And friends, we are living in the good of it now. And for those of you out there who are saying, well, I don't feel like I'm living in it. It doesn't matter what you feel. You have to let this book say what it says. The Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit back as he said that he would. The church was baptized into one body, as the Lord Jesus said it would be. And on this day of Pentecost, these individuals were filled as no one had ever been filled before. And something happened on that day that I think has probably never been repeated before. We won't have time to go into it today, but I can tell you right now, we are going to go into it, and it won't get any easier. It'll be just as controversial next week and for some time, I'm persuaded, after this, as it has been today. And some of you are going to be just as offended next week, if you listen next week, and I hope you will, as you have been offended today. Now, once again, I'm not trying to offend you. For those of you who listen to Dialogue who disagree with me, I beg you, I implore you, keep listening, because if you're out there struggling to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are struggling and straining to try to recreate the experience of Acts 2 in your life, I hope you'll stop that and just rest in the truth of the Scripture as it's given here and let it say what it says. Now, before we're out of here, I hope that once again, that those of you who are offended will be unoffended, and you're going to understand something. I love you dearly, and as much as I can or ever have or ever will, I'm not going to quit loving you, but I am going to go on telling you the truth, whether or not you like it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.